We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Gotta love baseball season. People in Philly already want to fire Gabe Kapler.
This is so funny. Like, he's putting his closer in this, like, the seventh inning. They're up 8 runs. What is he doing?
He screwed up the batting order already. He made a bunch of these bonehead moves last year, and you know Philly fans don't have a lot of patience anyway.
No, they're the worst, yeah. Man. They can't put up with anything. And now they have Bryce Harper, so like the bar has been raised.
His Twitter feed is
blowing up.
If you just check out Gabe Kapler on Twitter, you'll be entertained. It's
hilarious.
Gotta love Philly sports fans. Gotta love Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show every day, 9 until 11 a.m. He's also the lead columnist for the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, happy 328 day to you, sir.
And to you.
Excellent. Well, I'm enjoying it. Do you know what 328 day is?
No.
I didn't either, Jeff.
It was the score in the Super Bowl a couple years ago when the New England Patriots were trailing at the Atlanta Falcons.
Come on, Matt.
28-3. It's the day we celebrate New England. It was the greatest comeback.
We don't celebrate
Super Bowl
New
history.
England.
It's what the day is. I can't make it not 328 until tomorrow. Jeff, are you a baseball fan at all? I know you used to be a beat writer. Was it for the Marlins?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a Marlins beat writer for 2 years.
So are you any kind of a baseball fan at all still?
No, not really.
Were you ever?
No.
Were you ever, even when you did it?
I was. So I grew up, growing up in Buffalo, there was not a baseball team. And we didn't, Yankees were the basic team people cared a little bit about, but really not. It was Bills and Sabres, hockey and the NFL. So then I go to Boston for 7 years, and I became a devout Red Sox fan.
You were a devout fan?
Yeah, I mean, I cared.
I didn't know that.
I cared deeply during the Mets Red Sox World
Series.
That
explains why we lost.
Yeah,
that explains everything.
Man. Like I was during law school. Oh. I went to a lot of games. I listened to every game on the radio. I mean, I was a devout Red Sox fan.
Excellent.
Wes Gardner and Calvin Schwalbe.
Oh, God almighty. Don't mention
whatever,
him.
All of them. So, and then what was interesting is, this is why I have this view on fandom.
Wes Gardner being the first name out of your mouth talking about that team cracks me up.
Slightly obscure.
That was extremely.
It wasn't.
You didn't go Dwight Evans or Jim Rice or Marty Barrett or Wade Boggs. You went with Wes Gardner. Right. Cap tip to you, sir.
I was trying to show you that I was a devout fan. Right.
That's pretty good.
My view on fandom is that if you become a fan when you're 12, it sticks forever when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But that if you move to a town and then become a fan, like the way I did, which is just as a sort of a college, and then I moved away and I don't care at all.
You don't care
about the Red Sox. That devout fandom just
went
after
away.
I left Boston for a few years, it just went away.
Hmm.
And so then I covered the Marlins for 2 years, and that was Gary Sheffield was on that team, and Brian Harvey, and Jeff Conine, and Pat Rapp was one of the pitchers, and Benito Santiago.
Oh, yeah.
And they were terrible. It was their second year, and then the next year was the strike year.
Okay.
And as soon as I left, they won the World Series.
Oh, that's right.
As soon as I left,
Josh
came here,
Beckett,
they were
Mike
but
Lowell.
My experience was is that baseball players and writers were jackasses, basically speaking. Basically, relative to other sports that I've covered,
both the fans
are nice. Baseball fans are nice, but the players and the baseball writers, it's a really weird group.
It's a clique.
It's so far the toughest one.
Yeah.
And they want you to know, if you don't know who the shortstop is for Double A Scranton or whatever it is,
right.
You're like, what kind of a lightweight are you?
Yeah.
And so then you come here and, you know, I covered the Red Sox Cardinals World Series when the Red Sox finally won it. We used to cover, I certainly covered a lot of games when Ozone Park first opened, and I covered, I think I covered probably
two World Cardinals World Series since I've been here. But let's be honest, baseball doesn't register here.
No.
It just doesn't.
It does not.
How much do I talk about baseball? It's opening day. How much? I did mention the word baseball on my show today, and it's opening day.
Okay.
But it just doesn't register.
It does not register.
It is weird how baseball is become such a – because in the cities where it matters, it matters more than anything.
Yeah.
And in some certain cities. But nationally, it just doesn't. Like, as a general – and so I don't ever – like, we rarely – during the World Series, we'll talk baseball or if something – wacky happens, but it also doesn't have the soap operas that the NBA has.
Right.
Sort of the, like the NBA, you end up talking about these stars, these first name stars, LeBron and Steph and whatever else. And baseball, for whatever reason, doesn't have them. I'm astonished at what has sort of happened to baseball. You know, I don't know why it became this, not a niche sport exactly, because it's still huge, but it's definitely, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just so. I don't really find much profit in writing about it now because no one reads it, and I don't find much talking about it on our show because it just doesn't rate.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't. Whereas in Boston, they'll be talking about it all the time.
No, in St. Louis, you can talk about it 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every day of the year.
24/7.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, so
basketball, same way here, though. It's the reverse for basketball, though, here.
Right, yeah. But it's like just in Alabama. They're talking about Alabama football. In different places, people care about different things.
Yeah, it's become a regional sport, I believe. I think you're right.
It has become a regional sport. And it's also just weird the way. I mean, the fact that literally opening day happened a week ago.
Major League Baseball, they're like almost as bad as the NHL. The NHL screws themselves over like nonstop. But baseball does the dumbest stuff. They won't let you put highlights on Twitter, and they come after you when you do. They start the year in Japan. When was that? Last Thursday or something?
Those games counted too.
Seattle and Oakland.
Jeffrey was right this morning. Jeff, those did count.
Yeah, those are real games. And then they started on a Thursday, and they've got like all these weird. The Cubs are playing the Rangers.
Yeah,
for God's sakes! Like, what the hell? Like, what are you doing?
Well, we were the other day for the start of the NCAA tournament. Jeffrey and I were talking about what are the best days in the sports calendar, right? And what's interesting is how it has changed. I always contend that everyone says that the Thursday of the NCAA tournament is the best day in the sports calendar, and I just think that's ridiculous. It's not a better day in the sports calendar than the Super Bowl.
No, I agree.
Why aren't more? I mean, it's almost self-evident from the ratings. How many people watch the first one? Mm-hmm. So I get some real hardcore sports fans. And the first day is great. The first day of the NCAA tournament is great. It's fantastic. Although there were fewer upsets certainly this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Friday's equally as great.
You know,
if you simply are measuring how much people care about it, well, the evidence that they watch the Super Bowl vastly more than they watch would count for something. But what's interesting to me is that there are at least 2 days that you would have once put on that list of what are the best days in the sports calendar that are no longer there. One would be opening day, would have always been on that list. And two is January 1st, would have always been on that list.
Yeah,
you're right. And neither one of those. January 1st is essentially meaningless now.
Yep.
And opening day is, I don't even know when the hell it is. I guess you're counting today, but like, whatever. Like, when is it? So it is sort of interesting how it's changed.
Changing days are coming, I guess, to the Alliance of American Football. Pro Football Talk reported earlier, short time ago, that the AAF will indeed play its Week 8 schedule, which is wonderful news this coming weekend. But beyond that, nothing is guaranteed. So, Jeff, you're a lawyer, or used to be one, and went to law school at Harvard. And wasn't like one of the first tenets of law, get it in writing? I just can't understand how so many smart people launched this league. They got TV contracts with CBS, with TNT, with CBS Sports Network, like all this. And then but the whole tenet of the success of the league is, oh, well, we're different because we're going to be a developmental league for the NFL. And they're going to send young dudes, and we're going to get them better. Then they're going to go up there and be superstars, and everyone's going to know who they are. And meanwhile, the NFL is just sitting there like, yeah, like looking around the room like, where's the next hot chick at? Yeah, right, development, okay. Like, what were they doing? How did they not get that in writing, Jeff? Did we lose him?
Did we lose Jeff?
I think we did.
Jeff, did you step into something?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, there we are. There we go. Okay.
Pause. There.
You know,
that was a dramatic pause.
That was my pronounced cheekbone, my oppressing the mute.
It's all that running.
My beautiful cheekbones hitting that. Anyway, it's ridiculous at some level. Now, I will say this, that I don't know that the people who started the league thought that they were going to – this is the best argument that I can make on their behalf. The people who started the league may not have thought that they needed or were going to need actual NFL players to be loaned to them.
Okay.
The guy who was saying that we can't have the league without that, is Tom Dundon, who just joined the league 2 weeks in.
Who bailed him out with $250 million.
Right. Now, you can argue, why didn't they have the financing secured from the first guy? Did that group, before it changed, did they think that they needed to have – they obviously thought they were going to be a developmental league for the NFL in the sense that they were going to develop players for the NFL, but that doesn't mean that they thought they were going to get NFL players. That sort of theme – seems to be coming from Tom Dundon. Now, I do think it's ridiculous, and we talked about this with Gary yesterday, that he would sort of try to blame the NFL for not bailing them out, which is just silly. So it is going to be weird, though. Now we will go to this game on Saturday. We got Spurrier in town.
I know.
Whatever. And you can be damn sure he's going to be quotable. It's gonna
be
awesome,
you know, honestly. It, yes.
This could be into the line for Spurrier. So Spurrier, it's going to he's going to come in here, and it could be the end. I mean, how often does that happen? You got one more week. I guess it's like if you had 1 week less to live, what would you do? Only if you told the league that. So
you could go on though. So like you can't like just rip up the locker room because
right,
you might
true.
Be back next week.
No, you're not going.
It's like
to.
You're a
that's
temp
true.
Worker, and you're not quite sure if the carnival's still in town or if the lead roller coaster guy got arrested and everyone's got to pack up and jam out.
No, it's going to be weird not knowing what comes next. It is going to be weird not knowing what comes next. It does make it that much more intriguing. I actually do wonder if it'll boost attendance. People won't know if it's the if this is the last, I don't know if there have been many hurrahs, but if this is the last hurrah for this league, if people will just out of curiosity come. Although, is it supposed to be raining?
I think Saturday I did see rain.
There's a chance of rain Saturday.
I got a note saying the Memphis football practice had been moved because of potential rain.
Oh.
So therefore, that's what make me cued into the fact that that would be too bad.
It is so funny. You talk about regulations and stuff for baseball. We have a minor league football team that when they send out their media notes, you can only film certain plays during, like they have restrictions on the practices. I'm like, you should pray that somebody films your practice.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, here's the question then. So if you're Mike Singletary.
This has been ill-fated from the start.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I had a very hard time getting excited about this league.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
That's what she said.
The people who are, I still say this is true. The people who go to the games have fun. They really do. Like it is, I've never seen anyone sitting there saying, boy, this is boring as hell. Why did I come to this? The people who go to the games, like they have fun. And that is to me. And then secondly, I do think it is good to give players second chances to develop themselves. I mean, I like that aspect of the league. I think it is good for those players. I don't think it's good for players who already have NFL contracts, but I think for players who are out of the league, who need a second chance for Trent Richardson or whatever, I think that's cool. I like that part of the league, but I don't have much faith in that.
I'm skeptical about even any of that. We've seen what Trent Richardson did in the NFL. I don't know. I'm the general manager, but I'm not going to be no one's going to blow my doors up and be like, hey, Skip, did you see what he did last night? 80 yards on 12 carries.
And he's destroying the AAF.
Yeah, I know he is, but like, good luck to him, I guess.
There were definitely players from the USFL, and I'm not talking about the Jim Kellys, the ones that were high-profile when they got there. I'm talking about Sam Mills, who was a 5'9 linebacker who never would have made it to the NFL if there weren't an alternate league. Kent Hall, center from Mississippi State, who never would have made it to the NFL if there weren't an alternate league. The USFL did actually, and that to me proves it's not okay, maybe it's not the Trent Richardsons of the world. It's just some guy you never heard of, like the equivalent of the Sam Mills, who doesn't get a chance in the NFL, proves what he can do in this league, and then gets a chance to latch on, and that if this league disappears, that will be lost. And that's I think that part's too bad, and I think it's too bad for the people who enjoy it and have been enjoying it, but But we'll see.
So, like, if you're Mike Singletary and you know that Saturday could potentially be it, don't you just say, all right, we're starting Johnny, and we're just going to get out there and just do whatever, you know? We'll do a little op. Like, we don't even have plays. Just, Johnny, just go do something, and let's just see what happens, because
you would, it doesn't seem to me that's how he's wired.
No, that's how he's wired. It really does not
strike me. For him, it's like, you're saying, like, go crazy.
Yeah.
Mike Singletary, what is he going to do? He's just going to, like, can't wait to hand it off 72 more times, man. This could be my last 72 run game.
Maybe the last one yard gains
that I ever had.
It's my last fullback option that I get to run this series. Yeah.
Fullback plunge. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, so this also happened this afternoon. There's nothing funny about it, but it's news. Johnny Manziel has come out and said that his marriage has come to an end. I know you guys have been talking about it, how the Bree Tiasi, whatever, scrubbed him from Instagram. And Manziel confirmed the split to TMZ, although he did say, my hope is to put my head down and be allowed to focus on work and what's required of me on the football field. So hopefully, like, there'll be a football field for him to still be on after Saturday.
Well, that's the thing. What does happen to him? I mean, he's been kicked out of the CFL.
Yeah.
If what happens to him, if there's, I mean, I guess you could say he's an XFL. I think the XFL has already said they're not taking him, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think if you Google XFL Johnny Manziel, I think it's,
let me do that.
I think they said they're not taking him.
XFL Johnny Manziel.
Let's see what it says. Let's see how my memory is.
Why Johnny Manziel can't play in the XFL? The XFL,
see?
Oh, they've got, because of the standards rule, right? Because of the domestic stuff. Because they said that's Tebow's
that
good. Yeah, it's a, the XFL's
Tebow,
sort of,
good.
Okay, McMahon says, we are evaluating a player based on many things, including the quality of a human being they are. If you have any sort of criminal record or commit a crime, you aren't playing in the league.
Any sort.
Man, that's going to really limit the NFL's pool.
Have that standard, though, right? I mean, let's be honest.
I forgot. This was a big headline when the XFL announced about a year or so ago.
That's why, like, Johnny couldn't play there.
Okay.
I wonder if they relaxed it. I wonder if they had so much blather.
You know what? Criminals need a second chance. This is a bad rule.
It's Vince McMahon, right? I would imagine there's a hefty dose of blather mixed in there. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's talk about what went down last night. We haven't talked about the Grizzlies yet. Played well in the first half. We're kind of hanging around Golden State, but then, you know, Golden State's got firepower that the Grizzlies don't, and Warriors got that dub. However, Mike Conley did pass Marc Gasol, becoming the Grizzlies' all-time franchise leader in points scored, which means he is now their all-time leader in the following categories. Points scored, three-pointers made. Mm. He's in the leader in assists and steals. Mm. And in games played, only three players in the history of the NBA led their teams in these categories, points, assists, steals, and three-pointers made. It's Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer with Indiana, LeBron James, the artist known as LeBron when he worked in Cleveland, and Mike Conley. And I know the three-point shot is relatively new and in vogue, and everybody shoots a ton more than they used to, but still, that's some pretty good company, Jeff.
Yeah, also leads in faces broken.
Yes,
which is true, honestly.
And then games played with faces broken.
And games played with faces broken.
Yep.
That's what separates him from those other schlubs on that list. Like they can't match him in games with faces broken. And so that'll always be the quintessential Conley moment.
Yeah, it will.
And you know, he's such a classy dude. I mean, it's fantastic to have him the leader and representing this franchise, given that he was sort of the booby prize in that, considered the booby prize in that Durant-Oden draft. So, I mean, that's wonderful. I continue to believe that that he will be dealt this summer.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I've said this before, but I'm just projecting. If I'm Mike, I'm ready to move on, not because I don't like Memphis, not because I whatever, or you don't want to be here, not for any reason other than I've got, what, maybe two more really effective years in the league, and Mark's gone now. They're all gone now. Why don't I go and get a chance to play for a playoff team in my final 2 years? Maybe, heck, you know, maybe make an all-star team somewhere, whatever, and let's go do that. And so if I'm Mike, I ask the Grizzlies, please, you know, whatever. I want you to make a deal in your best interest, but I would like you to trade me. Mike told Chris Harrington last night that he didn't say anything about, tipped his hand about what he wanted, but he asked if Chris asked him if Mike thought that his wishes would be considered by the Grizzlies in terms of making their decision of what happens in the summer. And Mike said he believes he will be consulted, and he would hope and would expect that his wishes would be would at least weigh in to what they decide.
Mm-hmm.
And this is literally just me projecting. But if you were Mike, wouldn't you want to go somewhere else at this point?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know that I'd have the stomach for a rebuild or whatever is coming next.
Yeah.
And get some recognition, for goodness sakes.
At this point of his career,
yep.
I think he can
got nothing left
go
to prove
on,
here.
Go have fun in the playoffs for 2 years. Like he's done everything he could possibly do, including play with a broken face. And whatever you think of some of the nice progress by some of the nice pieces, whether it's Bruno Caboclo or whether it's Jonas Valanciunas or whether it's Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, or Kyle Anderson, all of whom are hurt. No one believes that this is a playoff team next year or a seriously competitive team next year.
Mm-mm.
And so I think that it won't have the same, you know, we sort of thought we'd seen the last of Mike. Everyone shook hands with him right before the trade deadline.
Right.
And it won't
he had a second life.
It won't be the same goodbye, Mike, the last home game this time around because
mm-hmm.
we won't know that he, but I do think it will be goodbye, Mike, this last home game, which is obviously against these same Warriors.
Yep. Seven games to go, just two home games left. They close it out with Golden State, as you mentioned, which means he's likely, if you think about it, to be the team's leading scorer forever in that he played 12 years here, 787 games, and throw in seven more. Averaged about 15 points a game, which gets us to where he is, almost 12,000 points. So that's going to take a significant player who is here for a significant amount of time to be able to pass Mike.
It's going to take a long, long time. He's also, by the way, as Chris points out, he is also this year, which is sort of interesting, he has the highest, if he were to just stop playing right now, or would, if as long as his scoring average doesn't dip,
mm-hmm.
his scoring average right now is the highest scoring average of any Grizzly in team history. So,
really?
Yeah.
Higher than Rudy Gay?
I think it's 20.9. That Rudy was his sophomore year was 20 point something, but it was not higher than this.
Ah.
I think Chris said that Zach's was maybe 20.8 one year, so it's going to be close.
Yeah.
But it is sort of amazing. Now this doesn't count Vancouver because Sharif Abdul-Rahim had a 23 or something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
if
you're talking about the Memphis franchise,
that's what we're talking about.
This is the most prolific, highest scoring per game season that any player has ever had, which you wouldn't have imagined.
No.
You might have thought maybe Powell, maybe Zebo, maybe Rudy, right?
Interesting.
But instead, it's Mike this year.
It's good. Of course, Chris Harrington came up with that stat. He knows all these things. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, we are talking with Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show. We got some significant basketball tonight, which hopefully the Memphis Tigers will be playing in a year from, say, tonight. We're talking about the Sweet 16. You got a big game for, should I quote Penny, F. Rick Barnes and his Tennessee Vols as they take on Purdue. Who you got in this game?
I got the Vols. It's not because of some matchup issues. Obviously, Purdue is really good. I just tend to think that I wondered if the pressure wasn't on Tennessee to get here, right? That last weekend, one of the reasons that they had such close escapes was that they sort of felt the need to – that the pressure was on them. I
mm-hmm.
think now, having gotten to the Sweet 16, you might see more of the impressive UT team that we'd seen earlier in the year. And so I think the Vols win. But obviously, this is pretty much a coin flip game. Purdue's really good. And clearly, if Tennessee plays like they did in the second half against Iowa, they won't win. I imagine that Admiral Schofield will want to opt into this game and not opt out of this game.
Yeah, that was weird.
That's part of his legacy now. That's weird. It won't be. I mean, it's not really a big part. And that was totally weird.
Remember when Scottie Pippen did that and everyone went crazy when the Bulls drew up a play and it wasn't for Pippen and he decided he refused to go in?
Right, yeah.
People remember.
And it's impressive for Rick Barnes. Three different teams in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive. And it'll be interesting.
off topic, really, I guess, but sticking with Tennessee, firing Holly Warlick the other day. I know you don't talk a lot of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they even put out a tribute video on the way out.
They did. That was the weird part for me. Like, it's a breakup that I guess had to maybe happen, although when you look at it, she was in the Elite Eight 3 years ago, which sounds crazy. Like, you're not firing a men's coach for doing that. But for the precedent that Pat Summitt had set, you couldn't live up to that. And it kind of gets back to the whole following a legend, like, don't be that guy. Josh Pastner was that guy, and then that one went the way that not to compare Cal and Pat Summitt.
You're saying they did a tribute video? Well, she made a lot of programs.
No, they did, thank you for your 34 years and pictures of her in a Vols uniform, et cetera.
She meant a lot to that program.
Yeah,
I get the hell out.
But they still fired.
Yeah, goodbye.
Well,
yeah.
She didn't do as good a job as Larry Finch did, for example. She wasn't as important as a player as Larry Finch was as a player, and she didn't do as good a job as a coach as Larry Finch did as a coach. But so the only reason I'm bringing this up is that Memphis fired him, and yet Memphis also gave great tributes to him. Like, you can say it's awkward. Like, I don't know what happened when they fired Fulmer. He probably wouldn't allow Tennessee to do tributes to him. you can have a coach that has done great things. She didn't really, honestly, relative to the standards. But who has meant a lot to the program, who you nevertheless have to fire. And therefore, it's not, don't let the door hit you on the way out. It's, God, we're sorry that it came to this. And I think with her, it's, we're sorry that it came to this. Just like if someday Penny has to get fired, it'll be, we are sorry that it came to this. I don't say that because I think that day will come, except for the fact that it comes to almost every coach. I'll tell you one of the things that I've said that's really nice, though, and I may have said this before about the Penny thing. Another little bonus is you look at University of Buffalo right now, and they've had a great year, and it's so much fun or whatever, and then they turn around the next day, Nate Oates is gone, right? The great thing about having Penny is another great thing about having Penny as the coach here is you never have to worry about that.
Yeah, he's not going to bounce.
Yeah.
You're never going to have to worry about that. And it has been a part of Memphis history that certainly every year there's the football team does well is, are they going to leave? Are they going to leave? Are they going to leave?
Well, let me ask you
certainly,
this. You say never.
Every year Calipari was, are they going to leave? Are they going to leave? Are they going to leave?
What if the NBA comes calling?
Oh, that's fine. I could see that. But honestly, I don't.
But not another college is what you're saying.
Yeah. And
I got you.
I don't think that the NBA is not going towards former players as coaches. I mean, Bill Self, people are wondering if Bill Self is going to, who obviously has reason to bounce, but people are wondering if there's any market. Gary was skeptical when he was on my show that there's going to be an NBA market for Bill Self, and he has an extraordinarily proven record as a coach.
Yep.
I think the things Penny surprised us all by never looking overwhelmed or over his head or whatever as a coach. But I don't think the things that Penny is best at, which are recruiting and, I mean, again, I'm not trying to underplay his ability to coach because I think he was a very good coach, but he's not, you know, I don't think most people think of him as Greg Popovich, that level of a coach, or pick your bright young star rising coach that whatever one you want to pick, Dave Yeager or whoever it is, take whoever you want. That's not what Penny is. So I don't think the NBA is probably a realistic fear, and he's not going to any other university. I think what Penny might do, I think the happy ending for Penny is he does this for 5 years, wins a national championship, or 7 years, right? Wins a national championship, maybe has another couple of years because he won't retire after that. And then he says, you know what? I've done this enough. I restored Memphis basketball. I'm going to go back to the golf course. I can actually imagine that.
Wow.
But
let's stack a couple national championships and see how we feel after that, right? Like, I'd be okay with that.
I don't imagine the NBA and I don't imagine another university. I imagine it could be he just says, okay, I've done this.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Hey, Jeff, enjoy the rest of your 328 day. We'll listen to you tomorrow.
See ya.
Jeff Calkins from The Jeff Calkins Show. Super late, four stories when we come back on The Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Wow. LA Dodgers are doing some serious damage.
Just destroying this dude from
the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Crazy.
Dodgers have hit 8 home runs in this game. I don't even know who this pitcher is in there right now.
Koch?
Matt Koch from the D-backs.
But he feels like another C.
He's given up 4 home runs
in
3 innings after their starter, Zach Greinke, was shelled for 4 home runs in 3.2 innings.
I hate that. I have Greinke on my fantasy baseball team.
Well, run out and get yourself some, is that Edgar Hernandez? I don't even know. Enrique Hernandez. He's got 2 bombs playing shortstop for the Dodgers.
Well,
Dodgers, you may recall, were the runners-up in the World Series a year ago.
Oh, yes.
They got beat by the Boston Red Sox. Let's do 4 stories.
Number 1.
All right, so it's the Sweet 16 tonight, Brad. We're going to see how good we're going to do since I'm back in tomorrow. We'll kind of track it, and that way give people a head start on their gambling weekend. Tennessee, a 1.5 favorite over Purdue. Who you got?
I'm taking Tennessee. I have them to be in the final. I actually picked them to win the whole tournament.
I shouldn't say that
in Memphis, but that's what I picked.
That's all right. Hey, stick with your guns.
All right.
Right? We already established
that. We got
ball
fans. We're playing the game tonight at 6.
We got Brad and Matt. I'm taking Tennessee as well.
You're taking Tennessee?
I think they beat Purdue.
Right.
Okay.
Tennessee it is.
Virginia, 8.5 over Oregon.
Now, the spread on that one I don't like. That seems like it would be closer than that because Oregon's playing well, but I would indeed pick Virginia.
You're taking Virginia.
You?
Just to keep it interesting, I'll take Oregon then, because like I said, I don't really like the Virginia and how they play Auld Lang Syne. Like, don't. Find something new. Ducks have won 10 in a row.
All right.
I'll take the Ducks, and I'll take the points. All right, Gonzaga by 7.5 over Florida State. Florida State's got the kids.
My homeboy Bullhart here is a Gonzaga alum, former Cardinal. Text me every time we mention the word Gonzaga on the show.
If you go all chalk
tonight, just text me right
there.
I'm
going to be not happy.
Yeah, I'm going Zags. I'm sorry. Hey, I can't pick against the Zags.
All right.
You?
I mean, I think that they're going to win tonight, too, but now,
what's the line on that game?
7.5.
Wow.
All right, so we're putting a lot of money on that. All right, Michigan, 1.5 over Texas Tech.
I've got Texas Tech. I think that Texas Tech and Chris Beard, they've got better players, and I think Chris Beard is an excellent coach. I think they've played well all season long. I've got Texas Tech, and you're going to pick Beeline's team, aren't you?
We shook it up. Yeah, I already established, covered Beeline in Richmond. I like him. I like Michigan.
Okay.
So there we go. So we got some different ones.
Good.
So we'll let you know how you do, how we did tonight, tomorrow.
And you can play along at home. There you go.
Feel free.
Story number 2.
All right, so we've covered a couple times that it is, in fact, opening day for Major League Baseball. If you overlooked the 2 games in Japan between Seattle and Oakland last week, which
Ichiro's
is, again,
final,
so
game
stupid.
There.
That was cool. I get
that, moment.
I guess, but, like, couldn't they have done that this Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give the teams time to come back. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Anyway, we've got a new top-selling jersey in all the land, Mr. Carson. Okay. Bye-bye, Aaron Judge.
I have not cheated on this.
Would you care to guess who is now number 1 in jersey sales in Major League Baseball?
Well, it's going to be either one of 2 people.
Okay.
It's either going to be probably Bryce Harper, right?
You are correct.
Yeah.
It's Bryce Harper. Because it makes sense. He just signed with the new team, Philadelphia from Washington, 13-year, $330
million. I was going to say Mount Trout would be second place, right?
Okay, well, actually, so would you care to take a shot at the top 5 selling best
jerseys?
Let
me give it a shot.
So Harper's number 1.
I'm going to go with, and I got that one correct,
yes.
So there's one. Trout is in the top 5, right?
He's in the top 5.
Okay, I got him. Other crazy players.
I already named one for you.
It's got to be a Met.
You weren't paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention.
I'll give it to you. Aaron Judge from the Yankees.
Judge?
He's number 2.
Syndergaard, is there a Met pitcher in there?
There is not. But there is a local boy at number 3.
Local
he formerly
guy.
Played for the Doolin Dodgers AAU team from Memphis.
How do I not know this
He's
one?
He's the current MVP from the defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox.
Oh, Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts. He's number 3.
Mike Trout.
Give it up for Mookie. Memphis connection. Mike Trout, number 4. Number 5 is a stunner,
and it
will stun you after I tell you.
Who is it?
It's got a connection to you.
Me?
Doo, doo, Yeah, there's a connection to Brad Carson here.
Is it a cowboy? Like, what? Who?
A cowboy? No, it's Yadier Molina from the Cardinals.
Oh. Did you?
Which
know
is amazing to me. Like, why would he? That's so random. He's been in the league 15 years.
No, that's not random. This is like his 12th or 13th in a row opening day for the Cardinals. Like, there are very few players.
But everybody that wants his jersey has it, is what I'm saying.
No, but listen,
He didn't come back from the dead.
No, but
he's not a White Walker, and they turned him, and they're like, oh.
Think about this for a second, and I think this plays into it, okay? A lot of people in this town were a little, they have these Marc Gasol jerseys, and what did they have to figure out? Well, Marc Gasol's no longer here, so they did the jersey.
Okay.
People went out and bought a Bryce Harper Phillies jersey immediately.
Because he's brand new.
Locked him in for 13 years.
Yep.
It's the same thing for the Angels jersey. Like
But these are new sales. Why are people still buying Yachty?
Because you want a brand new uniform.
But he's not going to be there for much longer.
He's going to retire a Cardinal. You're not going to have to change it to a Cub uniform or something else.
All right, that's fair enough. Like my vintage Nomar Garcia Parra Red Sox 5 jersey.
Story number 3.
Nobody All right,
so this is a weird one from the NFL, and it's going to irritate you because it does involve the Patriots. But here's the story.
All right.
New England Patriots safety Patrick Chung is part of this lawsuit coming from a former L.A. Rams ticket executive, Matthew Hogan, who was dismissed from his job, according to himself, for, of all things, a text that he sent to Chung's social media manager, Matt Weymouth. Stay with me here.
All right.
Patrick Chung, playing in the Super Bowl, Pats and Rams, broke his arm in the game last month. He's on the sidelines. He's out. He broke his arm. It looked painful. Hogan, the Rams exec, texted Chung's social media guy saying, quote, Patrick Chung is a B. Only he didn't write the word B. He spelled it out.
Ooh.
Weymouth is outraged. So he posts these private texts onto social media, which then made it look like Hogan was sending these texts to Patrick Chung's account, like straight up, like, yo, Patrick, you just broke your arm, you're a B.
Ooh.
So now Hogan says he was forced to leave his job with the Rams, that he's struggling to find work, so he is suing the Patriots' Patrick Chung as well as Chung's social media guy for just shy of $2 million. So this is where I say to you, Brad, what in the entire hell is happening here? How does a guy who's playing, who breaks his arm, get involved in this other from the fact that he's the celebrity?
Here's
why. He's not in control of this guy's, his social media manager. I guess I would need to see the legalese.
This is going
to
be a long answer, but I don't want it to be too long because you asked the question.
I did.
So they are firing the Rams ticket executive because of a text.
He's dismissed. That's just what he says. He said he was dismissed because of that.
First of all,
it's how it blew up on social media.
To me, a lot of this stuff always goes back to, are you good at your job? Unfortunately or fortunately.
Uh-huh.
In other words, people keep coaches all the time for doing stupid crap that they
Absolutely.
Do because they're awesome at their job. We see this in football all the time, especially college coaches. All right? I think it's the same thing with this ticket guy for the Rams. The Rams can't sell a ticket to anyone. They can't sell tickets, and they're awesome. Part of that is L.A.
Yeah.
So he's not good at his job. So that's also playing into this. So they said, you know what? You're probably not good at your job, so get the heck out of here. Plus, this is a good reason for us to fire you for cause. And like, get out of here. What are you texting another player for in the league and getting involved with this? I realize it's a text, blah, 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 but what are you doing? So, no, fire the guy.
I'm 100% in your corner. Let's move on.
Story number 4.
This is a weird one. Police in China say they've cloned a police dog. Why? They don't want to spend time and money training a new one. So they have trained this. I love the name of this dog. It's a Kunming wolf dog. Which is similar to a,
dog.
I'm sure I mispronounced that. It's similar to a German Shepherd. It was allegedly, excellent sound effect. Allegedly born in December, she was reportedly cloned from a 7-year-old champion police dog. So basically Sonny Crockett of the dog world, right? Okay, so now they say that the cloning is no slam dunk to work, that it doesn't guarantee a dog's behavior. You're a dog man, I'm a dog man. Would you clone your dog?
I love my dog. I would clone the dog.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and I think there are a lot of people listening right now.
I don't care about science.
Going,
hell yes. If
I
you're
love
telling
this dog,
me,
but
yes.
Here's the thing. Can it be exactly like this dog over here? That's the thing. I don't think there are any guarantees with cloning.
No, but he starts with, you know.
He shakes already with his right hand, just like our other dog
He
did.
Knows to come. Yeah. No, I would definitely clone my dog.
Okay.
All right. Let's do dinner to go when we come.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Get guap. The hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle for my chain like a pit stop. I used to want to
go. I was going to ask you earlier, Brad, how long would it take for Philadelphia Philly fans to boo Bryce Harper, who just signed that 13-year, $450 million contract? I was thinking they'd give him, you know, a couple weeks of offers, but that you're telling me that's not the case. You have information for
me. No, so this is an interesting turn of events. First, he goes out to right field, right? Because that's where he plays.
Yep.
And then they give him a standing ovation. He's wearing his green shoes for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
Goes up to bat. More applause. Strikes out. They boo him.
Philly gonna be Philly, you know?
Yeah, you can't. Like, they're undefeated.
Again, like we told John Martin early, you got to be who you are. Embrace who you are and just live your best life.
One reason not to go to Philadelphia if you're Bryce Harper, by the way, I think Mike Trout's going to be a way better player and already is, and he's going to be worth money.
I agree.
I actually question the Bryce Harper deal. I'm not even kidding. I am not.
No, you know, I'm with you.
I totally question the Bryce Harper deal.
I don't like any deal. I don't like 10 years for Trout. Like, he's great, but that's a long time. What if he gets hurt?
I would have gambled on Trout. I wouldn't have gambled on him.
I'm with you.
So if there's any city you don't want to go to, if there's a chance you're not going to be worth that money, it's Philadelphia.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or Boston.
Yeah, that too. Or New York.
Anywhere in the Northeast,
big market.
Really.
Yeah, Northeast, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Stay away from the Eastern Seaboard if you can't
handle
it.
That's a good place to avoid if you're feeling like you're going to go suck.
Thin skin, no doubt. You don't want to do that. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Well, that the AAF will indeed play its Week 8 schedule, according to reports, but that nothing beyond that is guaranteed. So, like, if someone's trying to sell you tickets for Week 9
or the playoffs,
maybe hold off on that. You know?
Wonder if they pre-sell. They're not pre-selling playoff tickets.
No. And maybe try to, like, drive a harder bargain for that Johnny Manziel jersey at the Liberty Bowl if you're going out there.
Ooh, that's
right?
A good idea. Maybe I should hold off on buying mine and get it till it goes on sale.
I'm saying fourth quarter, you just start talking the guy down. And as the clock ticks down, you just keep dropping that price.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Well, we've been talking about it. It'll be the Sweet 16, Tennessee and Purdue tonight, right here on 92.9. Coverage begins momentarily. Brad and I both have Tennessee winning that game.
What should I watch on TV?
So here's the thing. I'm going to advise you, get away from the TV tonight. It is Spring Fling at St. Benedict. We have the fourth annual art show already underway until 7 o'clock. The spring musical starts tonight. The Addams Family, if you're wondering. It runs through Sunday.
And the public is invited to
tickets
attend.
Tickets are available at SBA during office hours and at the tickets office
window.
Yes, you're invited. Anyone's invited. Showtime's tomorrow and through Saturday, 7 o'clock.
The St. Benedict Theater there.
Boys soccer is hosting Harding at 6 o'clock. They're about to start. Right. Girls softball host Bartlett at 6:30. Boys and girls tennis host Houston. They're well underway. So head to St. Benedict. You got things to do at Spring Fling.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston writing how about Greg Schiano resigning from the Patriots staff before even officially being signed to the Patriots. He said he's leaving for some personal reasons, so, like, let's hope it's nothing serious.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
So GP will be joining us via the phone lines. Dan Wolkin from USA Today will be talking with us, along with Jeff Calkins. Brad Carson will be right over there. I'll be sitting right here. We'll be talking about Sweet 16, and we'll see how our bets did to set you up for hopefully a prosperous weekend. So thanks to Gary for today. Thanks to John Martin. Thanks to Jeff. Thanks to Brad. Thanks to you for listening. Shout out to all you that are on the stream today. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have yourself a great night, Memphis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.